Okay, so you're back for more,
Huh?
No, you're about right. You're a truth seeker. That means you're here each week to like dive deep without, getting bogged down by the mainstream noise and all that. You sent in the April 4th Truth Seekers Weekly Briefing, and that's what we're going to use to kind of guide our deep dive today. It's going to mix the stuff like the big headline news and then those alternative stories that, don't always make it to the front pages. So our mission is to kind of go through it all and pick out like the really important things and see if maybe there's some connections, there's some bigger picture that we can start to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Looks like we've got a lot to unpack today. We're going to be talking about President Trump's latest move with these tariffs. Then there's that pretty intense situation in Gaza with the Israeli military offensive. And we can't forget about that devastating earthquake in Myanmar. Oh, and there's all this talk about a possible global recession. Plus, we'll look at what RFK Jr. has been doing over at Health and Human Services. Some pretty big shakeups there. And that's just the main news. We've also got those alternative stories to get to, birth certificate bonds, the chemtrails task force, all that stuff about BlackRock's control over food and medicine, the microwave war, and
Yeah.
Even the Ethiopian Bible.
Yeah, that's a pretty wide range of topics for sure. So let's maybe start with something that's probably going to hit a lot of people's wallets. These new tariffs. On April 2nd, President Trump announced a bunch of new global tariffs, a 25% tariff on all imported cars being the big one. And the briefing says the goal is to make American manufacturing strong again.
Yeah, revitalizing American manufacturing. But the first thing that comes to mind is, are prices going to go up? Like, will businesses have to pay more for the parts they import? And then will we as consumers end up footing the bill? And the briefing mentions Trump's trade war with China a while back,
All
right?
right.
And that did shrink the trade deficit between the US and China a little, but the overall US trade deficit actually got bigger. So you have to wonder, will these new tariffs be any different? Could they backfire and maybe even hurt the economy in the long run?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because if the last round of tariffs didn't really fix the problem with the trade deficit, then why go even bigger this time? The briefing says that even before these new tariffs, Fitch Ratings was saying that the effective U.S. tariff rate was already going way up from 2.3% in 2024 to 8.5% by like the middle of March this year.
Wow.
And now with these new tariffs, Fitch is predicting that rate could hit 18%.
18%. That's a huge
Yeah.
jump. I mean, think about it. That means everything we import could get a lot more expensive for businesses and for everyday people like us. And the stock market's not looking too happy about it either.
Yeah, the S&P 500 took a pretty big dip after hitting those record highs. It's down over 8% now. I guess investors are worried about the potential fallout.
It does seem like there's a sense of uncertainty about what this all means in the long term. You know,
Yeah.
this shift away from globalization. And it's interesting because even the administration is saying that there will probably be some short-term pain from these tariffs.
Yeah, like they're admitting that things might get a bit rough before they get better. But the briefing takes it a step further, calling this a symbolic break from like decades of globalist policy, a move towards sovereignty and industrial self-reliance.
That's a pretty strong statement. It suggests that this isn't just about economics, it's about reshaping America's role in the world. Less reliance on other countries and more focus on doing things ourselves.
Okay, so let's shift gears now to a situation that's just heartbreaking. The Israeli military offensive in Gaza, the numbers are really grim. UNICEF is reporting that over 332 children have been killed and 609 injured since that ceasefire fell apart in 2025.
That's just devastating. And the briefing quotes Israel's defense minister saying that they're actually going to be expanding the operation to take control of large areas to, crush and clean the area of militants. They're saying it's to create bigger security zones for Israel, but the impact on civilians is just horrific. There were more airstrikes overnight and into Wednesday, and they're reporting dozens of casualties, including many children.
And this whole thing about Israel's buffer zone inside Gaza is adding another layer of complexity to the situation. Israel says it needs it for security, but Palestinians see it as land grab. And now they're ordering an extensive evacuation of people from the areas where the fighting is happening. They even want to completely evacuate Rafah.
Yeah, it seems like things are escalating rapidly.
Yeah.
And what's really striking is that the briefing highlights the massive amount of global criticism this is generating. People are questioning the traditional narratives around foreign aid, the occupation, and even how the media covers all of this. It seems like the sheer scale of the humanitarian crisis is forcing a lot of people to rethink their whole perspective on the conflict.
Yeah, it definitely feels like something's shifting in the global conversation.
Yep.
Okay, so let's turn our attention to another part of the world that's facing a crisis, Myanmar. BBC was able to get into Mandalay after that earthquake, and what they saw was just widespread destruction, buildings collapse, damage everywhere. And one hospital they visited was so overwhelmed they were treating patients outside.
Oh, wow.
And the briefing says that aid is not reaching the people who need it.
Oh, yeah. The fact that the BBC had to sneak in undercover because Myanmar's military government won't let foreign journalists in says a lot. And they're talking about informers and secret police everywhere. The briefing uses the term institutional failure to describe the situation. It's like the whole system is failing to take care of its own people while the rest of the world is focused on other things.
It's really concerning, especially when you consider how much harder it makes it to get accurate information out and to deliver aid when a government is actively trying to control the narrative. Okay, so let's switch gears again to something that could have some pretty serious global consequences. This talk about a potential third global recession in just 20 years.
It's not looking too good, is it? Consumer confidence is dropping, home sales are slowing down, layoffs are happening, stores are closing, and then you've got all this tension from the trade wars going on.
Right.
It's a lot to worry about. And the Atlanta Fed has this model called GDP Now that's predicting the U.S. economy could shrink by almost 2% in the first quarter of 2025.
That's definitely a sign that things might be heading in the wrong direction. And the briefing points out that it's not just like, you know, fringe economists who are talking about this anymore. You're seeing it more and more in the mainstream media, too. Discussions about the likelihood of a recession is making people nervous.
It is. And when you think about it, since World War II, there have only been two events that have really caused global recessions this bad. The 2008-09 financial crisis and then the coronavirus pandemic in 2020.
Right.
And the briefing actually suggests that President Trump's tariffs could be the third such economic earthquake in 17 years, especially if other countries retaliate and slap their own tariffs on us. And you have to remember, the U.S. imported something like $3.3 trillion worth of goods last year. That's a lot of money flowing through the global economy. If things get disrupted in a big way, who knows what could happen?
Yeah, the briefing paints a pretty bleak picture, saying that the whole financial system is propped up by manipulation and debt, and that we could be heading for a point of irreversible collapse.
Those are strong words, but you can understand why some people are feeling that way, given all the uncertainty and instability in the world right now.
All right, so last but not least, in the main news section, we've got RFK Jr. and all the changes he's making over at Health and Human Services. It seems like he's not wasting any time shaking things up,
right?
Reportedly firing around 10,000 employees already.
Yeah, he definitely seems to be making a statement. And he's saying that the way things have been done is not working, that he wants to focus on stopping the chronic disease epidemic and make America healthy again.
Right.
Which sounds good in theory, but the briefing raises a concern that these cuts might actually make it harder to achieve those goals. They're saying it could hamstring Kennedy's own stated priorities.
How so?
Well, for example, they're talking about layoffs at the CDC's chronic disease office and that the top FDA tobacco regulator has been put on administrative leave. Plus, there are reports that he's gotten rid of the entire CDC office that tracks tobacco use. If you're trying to fight chronic disease, these don't seem like the moves you'd make.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. And it seems kind of contradictory given that Kennedy ran on a platform of radical transparency. But these firings are targeting people who often provide information to the public and journalists. The official line from HHS is that they're just getting rid of redundant or unnecessary administrative positions.
Right.
But some people are saying that it goes much deeper than that and that it's affecting key public health functions. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Definitely. And the briefing portrays RFK Jr. as a bit of a lightning rod for truth seekers, someone who's trying to expose the rot within the system. Whether these actions will help him do that or if they'll actually hurt things in the long run, only time will tell. It raises some important questions about how to effectively bring about change within these big government institutions.
Okay, so let's move on to those alternative news stories that were included in the briefing you sent in. Remember that these are presented as claims within the briefing. They might not have the same level of evidence as the main news stories we've been talking about, but it's still interesting to see what narratives are out there and what they might tell us about what people are thinking and feeling.
Exactly. It's about understanding the ideas behind these stories and the concerns they might reflect.
So first up, we have this concept of birth certificate bonds. The idea is that your birth certificate isn't just a piece of paper that proves who you are. It's actually like a financial instrument. A bond that could be worth millions of dollars that's traded as collateral for a national bet.
This is like we're all worth millions without even knowing it.
Right. And the narrative suggests that we're all basically being used as financial assets from the moment we're born without our consent.
It's a pretty out there concept. And I think it comes from a place of distrust in big institutions and this desire to find simple explanations for complex systems, even if those explanations aren't entirely accurate. It plays on this fear of being controlled by forces beyond our understanding.
Next up, we have the Chemtrails Task Force. This is the claim that President Trump started a secret task force to investigate and expose the people who were supposedly spraying chemicals into the atmosphere using airplanes. These chemicals are often referred to as chemtrails.
Yeah, and this connects to that whole conspiracy theory about those trails you see in the sky behind airplanes. Some people believe they're not just regular contrails from the engines, but that they're actually spraying harmful chemicals for some nefarious purpose.
And the idea that there's a government task force investigating this lends it a certain air of legitimacy, even if there's no real evidence to support it.
It's like the government acknowledging that, yeah, maybe there's something to this. It taps into those fears about hidden agendas and the feeling that we're not being told the whole truth.
The third story is about BlackRock and their supposed control over the food and pharmaceutical industries. The claim is that BlackRock owns or controls most of the big players in these industries, companies like Tyson, JBS, Cargill, and many others. And they're using that control to limit consumer choice and maybe even engineer price hikes and shortages. They use the term vertical integration to describe how BlackRock is pulling this off.
Yeah, so vertical integration in this context means that they own or control different parts of the entire supply chain. From the farms and factories where the food and medicine is made, all the way to the stores where we buy them.
Right.
And the concern is that this gives them way too much power over what we eat and what medicine we can get.
Yeah.
And that they could manipulate the system for their own profit.
The fourth story is a bit more out there. It's about something called the microwave war. The idea is that those cell towers everywhere are actually being used to target people with microwave radiation. And they're saying that this radiation can be used to control your mind or make you sick. The briefing even suggests that you can protect yourself by using grounded foil. They say someone used an RF signal detector, and that's how they figured this out.
That sounds a little far-fetched, but it does play on those anxieties about the unseen dangers of technology. You know, all those EMFs we're constantly bombarded with, some people are genuinely concerned about the potential health effects. And this idea of being targeted with mind control rays, well, it takes that fear to a whole new level.
Finally, we have the claims about the Ethiopian Bible. This is the idea that the Ethiopian Bible is actually the oldest and most complete version of the Bible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it supposedly has books that are missing from the Western Bible. The narrative suggests that there's been a cover-up by Western religious institutions to suppress this version of the Bible. They emphasize that the Ethiopian Bible was preserved outside of European influence, and that's why it's so special.
It's interesting how this narrative challenges the accepted history of the Bible. It's like saying that there's a whole other side to the story that we've been kept in the dark about.
So the briefing has this connecting the dots section that tries to tie all these seemingly unrelated stories together. They're presenting it as a web of deception that affects everything from our identity to our thoughts to the food we eat to our beliefs.
It's like they're saying there's this bigger picture, this hidden agenda that's controlling our lives.
Yeah.
And they're calling for an awakening to this reality.
It's definitely a compelling narrative. Mm. And whether or not you buy into it, it does make you think about the power of information and how much we really know about the world around us.
That's right. And even if some of these stories might seem far-fetched, they do tap into some real anxieties that people have. Like about who's really in control and how much we can trust the information we're given.
We've covered a lot of ground today, from global economics to the crisis in Gaza to those alternative narratives that are circulating online. It's been a real deep dive into the Truth Seekers weekly briefing you sent us.
It has.
And as we wrap up, the briefing leaves us with this thought: stay alert, stay grounded, stay free.
That's good advice no matter what you believe.
So keep seeking the truth. Keep asking questions and keep an open mind. Thanks for joining us on this journey.
Thanks for having me.